is the 26th of July 1995 and I'm Valentina Bold. I'm about to talk to Mr. Ashley Bird for the second time of Harrow about his experiences of going to the cinema in the 1930s.
Old stars that you liked and stars that you've seen with your wife. And I was wondering if there were, say, particular qualities that you liked in the star. We talked about people like Travis Slater and Ginger Rogers.
I suppose, really. I wonder if it was sophisticated or not to know when action was good or bad in those days so much. I think this is one of them. I mean, you look at the old films, I think I said, and you realise bad they were, but how unfinished, not so the, but I think we accepted the actors and actresses because they were so new, they were so out of our world, and we really didn't know what was good or bad. I suppose we threw things at the screen if it was, well, they were baddies, I suppose, but
That's interesting. So do you think you weren't very critical about the stars at the time? Or?
No, I'm sure we weren't. It was all so new. It was all so out of this world as far as when the first talkies came on, you see. I mean, we'd been used over a very short time, the silent films, the subtitles, but when talkies really sort of made their impact, I mean, it was fantastic. And of course, the cameras were improving, their scope was improving. I don't think that that fairly young age, and we were unsophisticated, that we were critical at all. We were quite happy to see that they dished up, more or less. I can't ever remember thinking that, I presume you'd come out sometimes with a lot of old rubbish, or some such expression, but no, we were so sort of, in those early few years, I mean, the years go by now so quickly that they hung about, seemed to me, in those days. But, and of course the hype from America with their advertising, their billboards, and also the magazines. My son was saying, actually, have you done any research through the old picture goers or?
I have actually, I've looked at some, and also,
does he collect them?
Does he?
Well, he doesn't now. He's got about 1,000.
Ah, he sounds like a good person. I was going to say, I brought along one, a film annual from the late 30s. I thought you might be interested in.
Here I got married, Norma Shearer and all that. And then he got
this. There's obviously some of the stars we were talking about.
Yeah, they're all
featuring
there.
That.
Yeah, thank you. Now I would recognise a face, unless it got a name under it, I would have a job very often to see it, but Robert Downey, David. I was looking at an old film, was it yesterday, it was wrongly advertised in paper and in the, it was Cooper, that wasn't what was in the book.
I was really thrilled to find it.
Yeah, I mean, this was now sort of age. This man, as far as the women concerned, was the last word.
Oh, Robert Taylor.
Oh, yes. The girls went actually. They didn't do quite what they do with the pop stars today, but, you know. Yankee Dogs.
Did the men like Robert Taylor quite as much?
No, they'd boo him.
Yeah. competition.
Yeah. Of course, Gracie and a lot of her early films were the ones we found were fantastic films, but a lot of old rubbish, really. Gracie, in our alley, something, one of the ones up there, where she sang all our usual songs. How did you manage to find this?
I got it in a second-hand shop in Glasgow, actually.
Yeah, I was talking to my son about it, and he said, I can't do anything for you at the moment, Dad. He said, because, well, he moved 18 months ago, and he's pulled this house inside out. I can't recognise the place now. And, of course, he collected vast quantities of paperbacks. His wife was. And picture girl. Oh, picture post. I said, where have you got any? Silly to ask. He said, they're poked in boxes in the backs of cupboards and everywhere. He hasn't settled down. So. Yes, you see, all these people, there was nobody like them as far as we were concerned. They were fantastic. They were out of this world. You haven't got it so much today, or not in the quantity, have you? I mean, I can't, well, I wouldn't know that, so I don't know how many other people name too many actresses or actors, one or two, not the quantity. Jackie Cooper. And I went as Jackie Cooper. He used to wear his cap, his black cap, on one side.
Oh.
I don't know whether you've got any pictures of him here.
I think I know the chap you mean. I mean, was that your idea or your mother's idea?
I don't know. Mine, I should think. Because we used to wear those flat caps. My friend now, I wear the flat caps and not really friend. Don't you come out on me with that on?
It's interesting, you must have caught your imagination at that sort of age.
Well, I was a bit of a little devil, I believe. Of course, he's still about, he was a few years ago, still doing a bit. He's an old man. So. That was fantastic. I continue to turn the book over like this. If you said to me, can you name some? I'd have to sit for some time with a pencil and as they came to me, when you see them. Yeah. Are you able to, is there a sort of somebody else doing it as well, somewhere else, or only you at the moment?
It's only me at the moment,
I see, so you can't sort of liaise with what other people are turning out.
Not really. No. I mean, this is really the only project that's doing looking at its artist films just now. Yeah. So.
Another one, Deanna Durbin. Beautiful voice. Another, of course, heartthrob.
Irene Land.
Yeah. Of course, Clark Gable had all the older ladies going mad.
Ah.
Different age group, I've seen the girls that go to him.
Yeah.
His moustache. And the suave, sort of.
Yeah. So he appealed to more the older women, you think, than.
Well, when you say older, I suppose.
Well.
25 to 30.
Yeah.
Very likely mothers, I expect.
Yeah.
I expect.
Was Robert Taylor someone that appealed more to the younger ones?
So the 18 to 25s. Not the very young girls. They didn't seem to, they weren't quite like they are today, I suppose.
Did you like her?
Oh yes, as an actress. Very. Always had the cigarette. She was featured, I think, on a forthcoming attraction on the TV.
Oh.
Was it a film? I don't know. My friend said that's Bette Davis. And I suppose it was not long before she died or something. Oh. Whether she had a stroke.
Yeah.
She was all one-sided and I said, well, I couldn't believe it was her. Yeah. Yes, this brings
Were you interested in, I mean, that's a piece about behind the scenes. Did you, were you interested in the technical side of pictures? Or?
Yes, only in as much as how they made them and where they made them. Because we had, a lot of people don't know this, we had a film set in Northolt, where I used to live. I got married in 1938, moved to Northolt. And they'd closed down the, it was an outside set, Conrad V. built in one there with a big fort. And he's outside and they built roads. So when they'd gone, and I, my first year of marriage, I used to go to their, I used to cross the fields of my wife's bike and pinch the soil out of their rose beds. But,
allegedly.
Allegedly. Anybody be interested. In fact, I belong to this history society and they didn't know, the majority have never heard of it.
Yes.
It was buried in a dell on the other side of Northolt, between there and Northolt Aerodrome. And there was only fields behind where I lived. I got married. Open fields. We weren't cultivated. Well, they had a few cattle sometimes, a few horses, a few sheep. But I just wheeled the wife's bike with the sack over it and helped myself to the nice loan. You see, being wasted over there.
Of course, yes.
But, oh, that's right, because they made Sabu the elephant boy there. Now, if you, and he lived in, while they were making it, the mumps and making it, he lived in one of the bungalows there.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a little village, nothingish place now, but it was a village sort of a mile and a half, 2 miles from where we lived, you see, in South Harrow. And there was only, what, two pubs, three pubs, a church, and one or two people. That was one of the first ones. Everybody, all the kids went down there to see that. I can't remember what year that was. Quite young, so I should think it would be the very early 30s. 31, 32. Yeah, Sabu the elephant boy.
Did you like his films then?
I don't know whether I ever saw them. I can't remember. May have done. I can't remember. I know that while they were still making them. Because they then, of course, went, you didn't see them for sort of 12 months. And they were, there's not a lot of people now in the local area, of course, know all these.
Yeah.
And when I told you I joined this history society, I was surprised how it's a very middle-aged group.
Mm.
There's one or two of us older, like the lady, Miss Koenig. One or two more, most of them are incomers, if you like, in the sort of 40s and 50s, I suppose. That'll be recorded.
That'll be recorded.
Because that's another family, the Bennetts.
Ah.
The two girls. And Dad, I believe. Married to Clark Gable.
Ah.
Well, I say married. It's his girlfriend anyway.
Yeah. Did you like Carol Lombard?
Yes, yes. Very sophisticated. Have they got anybody to tell you about these?
Spencer Tracy.
No. I don't know whether they have. Individually, as opposed to present day and match up. It seems to me, with today's entertainment, that the television has thrown up the greatest amount of talent in so many forms. Some other one, Gene Arthur. I've asked people to name all these. Adult comes in. And he's saying, Another lady, sad life, really, I think. Sad life.
Did you like her films? Or?
Yes. I remember going to the Colosseum once. What did I see there? Charlie's Aunt. Which was a British story, I think. Of course, they've got the American actors in it. He was a bit later than the late 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I mean, I think of her in Gone with the Wind.
That's right. So well, I saw that in Alexandra during the war. Mm-hmm. Go to the cinema over there, and we did make home short. Of course, all the seats were cane seats. I don't know whether you know the chairs, the Lloyd Loom chairs. I used to use them in bathrooms years ago. They were sort of a woven fine cane, rather like it's a metal.
Oh, I think I know it.
And all their seats out there. We used to go to the cinema there, of course, in the Middle East, where we were in our white shorts and shirt. Get bit to death. Bugs.
Oh.
Every chair had loads of bugs, so you come out there bitten. But we used to get in when we could. What's the singer that died? Janet Gaynor. No, Janet Gaynor. That's one of the early ones too. That was my father's stepfather's. Mad about that. And what was this? Farrow. Mad.
Was it Charles Farrell?
Yeah. That's right. Janet Gaynor. Couldn't tell anything about the film, but it was, the one whose daughter's now. Daughter of Lux. Minnelli.
Ah.
What was her mother?
Judy Garland. Yes.
Of course, her acting with, here we go again. Batman.
It's very small.
That's right.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Yes.
The Andy Hardy stories.
Yeah.
You know, they were. Lovely time, you know, when you look at it. We wonder now whether people have had that. He said, I don't know. Well, of course, another pair.
How did you feel when you were going to the pictures in the 30s? Because it sounds
excited.
Yeah.
Excited. Because we were not very well off. I mean, your grandma's penny was a lot of money. So if you got a sixpence, either we're doing something or other, or errors or something, you know, he was so excited, this kid. It was so new. There was no television, no radio, really. I mean, the crystal set was in its infancy. One of my relations started a manufacturing firm of radio sets, wirelesses as we call them. And so we got one of the first. So that was pretty fantastic for our group. But most of us had our crystal sets. So the cinema, and of course there were so many Wild West. And for boys of 10, 11, 12, you can imagine. There was goods and bads, and people were converted. I said to my son, I was telling him, I said, do you remember going on Saturday morning? Oh yes, he said, not for a very long period. I said, no. And I said, you used to come home and bawled to tears. You'd come home for lunch, 12:30, 1 o'clock, dinner on the table, and it would go on.
Do you think you did that when you were that sort of age?
No, I didn't have that relationship. You see, I was a stepchild. I was the eldest son. I had two younger brothers. The next one to me was 7 years younger than my only brother. Now is 9 years younger. So there wasn't that. And I, as I say, as a stepchild, but my father was killed in the First World War. Mother married again in 1921. I was four and a bit. Didn't live at home a lot, I lived with my gran, you know, so there wasn't that quite that rapport like you've got today.
Mm. Was your grandmother interested in films as well?
Mother used to take her occasionally, yes, not some, that strange, a bit diversified, and I was wondering today, I'm going to ask my brother, who, as I say, is 9 years younger, what he can remember of his grandma on the mother's side, if at all. I mean, he's a granddad. He's got six grandchildren. They're very close to him. And I would have thought those children will remember a lot. I wonder how much he remembered. Grandma went occasionally, but she was getting hard of hearing anyway at that time.
Well, I wonder if for her generation it was maybe not
no,
so...
No, no.
Something, it wouldn't be something that she'd grown up with. Like
my granddad died. That one died in 1923. And he would have been 61, I suppose, so... I've only got vague memories of him. I have one or two, but my memory, the council estate just over the other side of the bridge, the Sells Avenue. And I remember bringing his lunch sandwiches, and he was a carpenter working on the roof. I could see him now on those roofs. Actually, I would have been about seven, I suppose, I think 24. Been earlier than that. He died 23 or 24. No. Grandma lived on until well into her 80s, but had gone, seen her before. No, they weren't. Not really part of it. Mother was very keen. She always wanted to go once a week once they built the cinema. He's still about, isn't he?
Well, Don Amici, yes. He's changed a lot, of course, since the matinee idol there, but...
I can't recognise him. And I thought very... I don't know what I thought, but I saw him some couple of years or so ago in a film. I thought, oh my goodness.
George
Foreman.
He looks a lot younger there, actually. Yeah. As I think of him more.
That's right.
I don't really know much about Nova Kilby.
She didn't. She was only did a little I don't know how many films she made, but not very many.
Mm.
She didn't get very well known over a very short period. Mm. Barrymore family, another one.
Mm.
Lionel, two Barrymores, weren't there? There were so many, it seemed to me, so many that were sort of household names. All right, I can't bring them back to mind, but seeing them, you remember they were household names. You would know them all.
Mm. Did you talk much about films then with your friends? Or?
Yes. All the time, you know, because with the the flea pit here, the one in Wembley. I never got to the one in Wealdstone. In fact, I can't remember where it was, but there was one there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what kids, you know, if we could get, because it was cheap, get in for tuppence sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that, when you'd be saying, well, you've been to so-and-so, you know, in this...
Did you like Claudette Colbert?
Oh, yeah. Just all these, I mean, if they were good or bad actresses or actors, you didn't consider it, really. I mean, they were easy on the eye.
Yes. It's interesting to say that, because, I mean, looking at all the gowns and the costume and everything, was that part of the attraction?
That's it. See, because we couldn't make musicals, because the Americans, I mean, their musicals, even their early ones, were out of this world with the girls, you know, their dancing troupes. Now I wouldn't go very far, but there you go. Now you have me. Yeah, June May. Cagney. Of course, everybody did Cagney, if you know what I mean.
I mean, did you like that sort of film?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course, the early gangster films were another thing. The car chases, ridiculous things, you know. But it was, you get the whole audience, kids' audience up and shouting and screaming. More or less like a pantomime, you know, he's round the corner sort of thing.
Oh.
He's round here shooting.
It's interesting you say that as well, because these are films I can think of Cagney, but I've seen them on television or on video, and you don't get that sort of atmosphere, of course. It sounds completely different to being a cinema.
You get the same thing then as you get at a children's pantomime when you say, oh no, he doesn't, you know, because people say, well, he's behind us, sort of thing, you know how they shout out, look behind us, sort of thing. Well, you do the same with the films, you know, if somebody was creeping up to the
And of course, these are the huge images as
That's
well.
Right.
It must have been really exciting, as you say.
And the kids would run to the rail and went round the, could be the orchestra pit, there was only the lady in there on the piano, they'd be running to that and, I don't know how much you sort of brought those memories back, because you, unless they are sort of, though I and my friend both are the same sort of age group.
Mm.
So, my wife or my young lady and myself would never miss our Saturday evening, not unless it was very hot.
Mm.
And even then we'd, find one of Thrupp's to go to.
The cinema's quite hot in the summer then.
Yes, the new ones, the new Odeons, of course, had of course that became a feature in the middle 30s, I suppose. They used to stick it on there.
You were saying about the cooler.
Yes, it was beautiful to go to the bigger cinemas in Hammersmith. You go in, it was this beautiful pool, that was a thing I remember in South Africa. Being taken to the bioscope, as it was called out there, walking into the foyer, and it was freezing cold. Still with us? I think she is, isn't she? Yeah.
But is she not married to Robert Taylor?
I think she was.
Yeah. Because I remember someone saying that they were really jealous when Robert Taylor got married to
her. The girls were.
Yeah.
Not, you didn't get the very young children, you know, the 13 and 14 year olds, quite in the same. They hadn't learned to do like that today.
Yeah.
A young one. I say this was the year I got married, so then of course there wasn't so much money to go.
Did you like cartoons?
Well, I was thinking this morning before I came, but I don't remember when the cartoons first started. It was later, I think, that the things like Mickey Mouse. I can't remember the first one. I mean, Mickey Mouse was the first ones that I can remember. And his throw-off. Whether there were moving drawings, I can't remember. I think so, not in the very early days. No. Have you any evidence of
I think things like, I know that was one of the earliest full-length ones, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes, I wonder what year that was. Well, it's here, if it's in here.
Yeah.
Well, yes, when they awaited for 38.
Yeah.
So that, I was 21, so. I really can't remember. I would have, Mickey Mouse was before that. Mickey Mouse was popular with my brothers. They were down at the seaside and they had their photographs taken standing beside a puppet, a bicycle, kind of stuffed Mickey Mouse. My brother would have been about 4 hours. Oh, 1930.
I suppose so, if you were late teens, 20s, it wouldn't quite so interesting to you?
I suppose, I could look at cartoons today and be a bit, so I thought we were, but not in quite the same way.
The other thing I was meaning to ask you about was the news and sort of factual.
Ah, yes, that's one of the things I suppose we look forward to. With the sort of program you've had, with news, a B-film, I suppose the middle part you would have had the cartoons, and then your main film, that was twice a week, so you'd get news change twice. And this was our first sort of intimation of the other parts of the world. I mean, all right, it was not spread like it is today, but I mean, you've got America, some of Europe. We learned an awful lot. Always look forward to the news. They were quite long, some of them, news. You got your money's worth. it was the first... Passy, doesn't it? Passy Gazette. For our first, I suppose. I suppose if you look back on them, most of them were very parochial, very sort of near to hand, but you get the odd bit and piece. Most were Christmas. And then it was out of date, of course. Jessie Matthew.
Is she someone that you like?
She lived near here.
Someone was saying that she's buried in wrestler or something like that. Is that right?
I don't know, but she lived. I would have thought Harrow Weald Way.
Ah.
Stanmore Way. Her and Sunny Hale, that's right. Sunny Hale. Yeah. Jessie Massey, she played Mrs. Dale, Mrs. Dale's Demario.
Ah.
The right.
Did you like her as a singer? Or?
Yeah. Brings so many memories back. And there were so many filmed. I suppose they are turning them up more today, but there was a lapse at one period, I think, whether or not, where they weren't turning up with the quantity. They were only turning up the bigger blockbusters. Mm. But the studios, I presume, that started up in the early 20s, so many, you know, lots of them, they turned out these not very good films, but there was masses of them.
I'm just looking through that. I mean, there's so many stars.
Well, this is it. It made these actors and actresses of those days, because there was such a big coverage, I suppose, in America, starting then over here in Europe. Not in other parts, I suppose, but. So they became happening. Another man, every dog. Well, of course, the early comedies, the American comedies. I suppose Harold Lloyd and Buster Keaton, but there was a man who made his name in producing them. The Keystone Cops. Yes, Keystone Cops. And then there was this three. You still get them today. Stupid people, three stupid people. Used to bang him on the top of his head. She'd go mad, you know. As far as we were concerned, it was the last word in funniness. Jumping up and down the aisles. And I suppose the youngsters of today wouldn't do it. Too sophisticated, I suppose. Both the young ones of 6 and 7 would.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that went up to 10 and 12. I mean, the generations are saying, oh, here we go. Yeah. How many Robin Hoods has there been?
I don't know, but that must be one of the best ones there in Finland.
Errol Flynn and Tyrone Powell, another girl's delight. They actually swoon, you know. So if you've got Tyrone Powell, the three of them, Taylor, I mean, you wouldn't go once. Another thing, of course, you did, if you wouldn't catch it, if you didn't get caught with the cinema, when it finished and the cinema cleared, you'd rather hide behind the seats or go into the toy pit and see it all again, sit all through it again.
Mm.
Used to do naughty things like the exit doors always had push-up bars. Mm. You go to the toilet, one and buy a ticket, you see. Go in, sit down, the first chance you've got, you go out, push the bar, let his mate in. So about five of them would get in. See, nobody really, as long as you weren't sitting in seats.
Mm.
Terrible. Yeah. You could actually get cups of coffee. Not so much coffee, more tea in those days. At one period, a very short period. I think Granada was one of the first to start with that. They'd come along, I mean, there was usual ice creams and sweets, but they'd come along with cups of tea. What were they in Granada? I don't remember. I know Mother used to like her. She could get her a cup of tea in the middle.
Sounds very civilised, actually.
Yes, coffee wasn't so, because there wasn't instant coffee. There was camp coffee.
Oh, the ones you get in bottles, yeah.
I mean, not so very long ago, I don't know what happened. So this was down in Hampshire, about 15 years ago, I suppose. My brother's son, they were colleges down on the south coast. Mm. One of these boys brought his girlfriends to us in Hampshire. They just said, can we call? I was at work. When I got home, my wife said, you know, those boys turned up with their girlfriend. She said, I didn't mind, given. Only camp coffee. I said, how did they take that? She said, not very well. Because my wife didn't like coffee.
I see.
So, and I suppose there was this bottle in there, I know. And I mean, at that time, Nescafe was on. So, So, but coffee wasn't served, because that's all you would have got in. Coffee and chicory, I think. Could get coffee ice creams, I remember that. Always, yes, go in, yes. Always got to have a tub, if possible, of coffee ice cream. Peter had... No, it was Peter Mann.
He's very like Ronald Coleman, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I thought it was Ronald Coleman at first.
There's another one. Yeah. It's suave, absolutely, the last word. And of course, in later days, Michael Wilding. We're worth a few bob in your lifetime, I think. When my son gets himself together, I'm going to get him to lend me some of his... Mm. I've had some of his picture posts, which came out before the war. And that was possible. Only photographs, but there's quite a... Jane Withers, little girl. Yes. Mm. Another one. Maureen O'Sullivan, next to Oxford again. Look at this.
I mean, were you interested in the sort of child stars then? Shirley Temple and people like that? Or?
Yes, Shirley. I don't know when her films first started. Very precocious child, I think, he sort of. I don't think we were very interested when we first saw it. We were beginning to grow up, and it was she eventually became an ambassador, didn't she?
I think she did. Yeah, yeah, she went into
one of the African
politics.
Countries, whether it was Zimbabwe.
His films very much, and it's good.
Yeah. You see his, hear his voice.
Yeah. always seemed to play the same sort of character,
didn't he?
He was very suave as the same.
Yes. There weren't many people that could spread themselves into... they were always themselves in a lot of cases, you know. They were either tough guards, suave guards, or rotten crooks. I mean, when I think of... there you go. The man with the... Or the Casablanca man.
Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart. Yeah. And then he had one or two similar.
Mm.
They always got the big fat cigars. They were always crooks.
Mm.
They'd always got fast cars.
Yeah. So he was in that one with James Cagney, wasn't he, where he was turning around and saying the film where... The one where Cagney ends up going into the... electric chair and being yellow, and Humphrey Bogart was sort of so that same thing. Cagney had been in prison and he came out, and Humphrey Bogart was sort of double crossing him. He was a nightclub owner or something, and Cagney was sort of bad but quite likable, but Humphrey Bogart was just horrible. Yeah, because even when he's sort of good, when he's a detective, he's still nasty about him.
That's right. Oh, yes. Singing Cowboy, Gene Autry.
Ah.
Yeah. I suppose, really, as far as boys were concerned, the Westerns and the crying ones were our biggest, you know. We weren't so keen on the going to, not until we had girlfriends, I suppose, and they wanted to see the musicals.
Mm.
I was wondering whether there were any of the British made films. Bobby Howes. Jack Buchanan. Another one of the suave. Yeah, the girls did all right in those days as far as... I mean, we didn't think so, but... the Edgar Wallace stories, that's right. Anton Walbrook. Leslie Banks. Or Tom Walls. The Tom Walls pictures. Used to love them. I think he was there as the actor. At least I saw him on the stage. I can't remember, but I don't think he went much on his acting, but I mean, from Brian Ricks and the fast type of stage things, I mean, that's where they did all their training. Of course, their looks were, you know, the way they sort of portrayed it was everything.
Yeah, I see what you mean, even in that picture, his expressions.
Yeah, that's right, their expressions were always, well, of course, when they were in silent films, that's the only way they could express themselves. A few words that came up, the answer came up, yes, you know. So it's still the same today. The people that are expressive on television, if you can take your mind off the story for instance, see their expressions. I mean, we were looking at One Foot in the Grave last night.
That's wonderful.
I mean, her expressions, she's so good. Of course, Judy Dench is another one. Michael Williams, they're so good at their expression. I mean, oh yes, they're trained to do it, but it makes the difference between good and bad.
That's right, even a look, we can just...
He's still about, isn't he? Oh yeah, the skater.
Ah, so many women.
Yeah. I don't know what she did much in the way of films. I mean, but basically she was an ice skater. That's where she made her, well, as far as I'm aware, she made her name in the world of skating. Mm. And then went on to be a... Rita Garbo.
Did you like Rita Garbo?
I suppose we didn't go much on her as kids. She was, I mean, there was, as far as we're concerned, all you used to hear from I want to go home?
Oh yes, I want to be alone.
I want to be alone, yes. That's right. That was all the girls were. But as boys, we weren't. I think in later we realised she came on with some of the Anna Karenina and her fantastic, you know.
But when you were a teenager, she didn't really.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I think my stepfather did.
Ah. That's interesting. It sounds like she appealed more to sort of adults, I suppose, than to teenagers.
That's right. Yeah. Early 30s, what, 15, we were only just beginning to find our feet, if you know what I mean. Of course, mounted on the beauty and bounty and things like that. There was quite a number that... So when we had girlfriends, we had to go and see the what we would call sloppy films.
Were you sitting
teenagers.
Through gritting your teeth?
That's right. Yes. I'm trying to get to grips with a girlfriend. That's a stop it, I wasn't. Yes. You could hear it going on.
I'll bet, yes.
Yeah. And then you get the stories, of course. I managed to save up for the back row at the, Of course you get the stories then. But if it was a good criminal, you know, crime film. So is it, Sydney. Yeah. I suppose this is something. And that was my wife all over again, honey.
Really?
She was Sylvia. She was 9 and a half, Sylvia Pankhurst, of course. But same shape head, she had very dark hair, brown eyes. Well, I used to call her, Anna May Wong. Now, I suppose she was Chinese, but I really don't know. But my wife in the early days had a fringe, of course, straight hair. Perms were only coming in. Of course, girls couldn't afford perms. And there wasn't before. It's different today. But, so she used to get very annoyed. I used to call her Anna May Wong. Then, a bit later on, when she started to have perms, the hair cut. Yeah, Sylvia said that.
She must have been lovely, actually, when you say that.
She wasn't as pretty as her, but as far as I was concerned, she was a cat's whistle. We used to meet outside here. She used to work in here, in the laundry office. I used to come down from Kilburn when I was at school at the Wilson School of Building. I was still in short trousers, because you didn't wear long trousers in those days. I mean, I was... 13 and a half when I got my first pair of long trousers. Mm. I was 12 and a half when I went to the poly. And I used to meet her outside. She used to finish work about 4 on a Friday. And I used to come off the train and we'd sit on the bus together. We didn't go to the cinema together in those that time. A couple of years after that, wasn't it? Oh, there's another lot. I used to, Jack Hubble and Cicely Portridge. Mm-hmm. I used to work for a firm in Pinner, the horticultural supply. And a lot of these English people, actors and actresses, had their gardens, and we were the only few firms that could supply a lot of things. I mean, we weren't the garden centres in the early 50s, they were only just coming over. The first plants, which you now buy in plastic bags, the first plants were planted in old tin cans. There was a mad rush for margarine cans, the big ones. Cicely Courtney, they used to live out at Essendon. Jack Hulbert, Claude Hulbert, all quite a number of them used to come to this firm. And I used to get their phone calls because I was in the order office that day. And we used to deliver all around to these. And they were a smashing couple, Cicely Courtney. They had this lovely, and of course, our driver, Elton. I used to say, you've got some cross names for Cicely this week. Oh, good, he said. I always get a cup of tea and coffee out there because it was off his beat, actually. Essendon, it was a bit far out. This was in the middle, late 50s. Mm. So, Cicely, yeah. Claude, his brother, had a most peculiar voice. Well, so had he, I suppose. When he came on the phone, he was like, Eddie Canty. Didn't go too much on that, because it was sing and dance again, wasn't it? It did got a good story to it, but if they started to come on and sing to them, it was... How many times
has that been
done?
Again, that's, I would say that must be one of the best ones, or the Ronald Coleman one. She was in the 39 Steps, wasn't
that's
she?
Right. I think that was what I saw.
Yeah.
The Colosseum. Yeah. Because she went anti-British, at least that is the rumour, whether it's all true, I don't know. When the war started, she went to America, and the story was she was anti-British, whether it's true, I don't know.
Yeah. Right enough, because I can't really think of her in films, in the later films.
No,
it's the...
no. She was very lovely, lovely woman. They all were. Well, they are today, except because George Arliss. No, I'm not Jan Blondell, the blonde bombshell. Rick Law, Bogart. Are these alphabetical? That's
I think
nice.
So, yes. It's handy.
Yeah. Another one of the gangster type. Edward Arnold. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Could always take his films, of course. Crosby.
Oh, Crosby, yes.
Him and Bob Hope. The road films, because they were later, weren't they?
Slightly, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jack Holt, another one. will pay. I mean, you look at a real film today, and you think, so how today will laugh? You have to laugh now because she's so ridiculous, you know. But I mean, so, well, I don't know how to express it, but in those, when you first saw them, you'd die. More than half. Robertson here. All that, not so much in films, of course, on the stage in those days. Of course, Laurel and Hardy, well, you don't have to say any more, do you? I mean, if you got a Laurel and Hardy film, you had to go and see it.
What was it about them that made them
so
compelling?
They were so stupid, I suppose. Yes, that was their stupidity that made them so lovable. I mean, call it being funny today. I suppose you'd laugh today because of its stupidity, but you laughed in those days because, well, it was like the slapstick on the stage or circus. It appealed to you at that period. John Lodge, another one. A lot of these people's names disappeared. All of them, the Pino family.
I don't know.
Should be in 18 next year. Ralph Lynn, another stupid. Yes. Yeah. Dear. Dirty work popping up for Valor. Donald Hillett, singer.
Someone was saying to me that they liked comedians then, like the light Laurel and Hardy, because they weren't really cruel. It was quite sort of gentle humour in a sense.
Yes, right. Yes, there was no cruelty.
I don't know if you,
yes. At all level. Most of the comedy was that. I mean, there was plenty of killing.
Yes.
But quick killing. I can't remember any sort of hang on type.
Certainly not the blood and gore that they do now.
No, there wasn't.
No.
There was, of course, there wasn't. The sex, of course.
Right.
They'd disappear into a room and that was it. You didn't see me, but you didn't expect to. And as you say, with the killing, it was shoot, bang, fire, and you were dead and never gone, you were on.
No blood on him, probably, either.
No.
James Cagney's shot.
Well, you may see it, but they didn't dwell on it.
No.
Well, they weren't allowed to, I suppose. I suppose there was a, of course, in America, as far as the other sex side of it, they weren't allowed. You weren't allowed to see parts of a woman's body or a man's body, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But,
that's right, and when you think about the violent films as well, the baddie always gets his just desserts, doesn't he?
If he didn't get his comeuppance, you would want to think it was a sequel and there's going to be another one where he got it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh no, he'd always had to end heaven.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm wondering, do you think that films like that influenced your own sort of code of behaviour or your morals, or do you think you learned things from watching the pictures?
I would think so. Yes. And of course our upbringing was tighter.
Mm.
Use that word, tighter. You had the freedom to be just be free and do the things you were allowed to do today, so that the films did influence you quite a bit. But they are very, I suppose when you're 8 and 9, once again the children today would do it because we made our swords, chunked a bit of wood with a piece of crossbar, and we'd do mutiny on the bounty, you know, or what was his name? Saw him just now, the
car. Robin Hood.
That one? Not Robin Hood, what was the other one? Fairbanks.
Ah.
Douglas Fairbanks with his Ronald Coleman.
Yeah.
You'd ape all that. There was a lot of influence. But luckily, I suppose, not the sort of influence you've got today.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure you must have played at Cowboys as
Always. I mean, the spare bit of ground at South Harrow, where you went up to the Koenigs, there's a pub there, I can't remember its name, something to do with stars, I believe.
Oh yes, it's like the Constellation. Yeah.
Well, there's three or four shops in front there.
Yeah.
Terrible broken down things, but that was our shops in those days. There was the Watchmender, the two Smith ladies run the oil shop. Then was Mrs. Bell, the sweet shop. Top Pratt, the butchers, Collinson's, they all flourishing shops. It's all the world. A few up further. And the Top Pratt owned all of them, I think. And he was the butcher. And behind there were stables. And he had a son. We were all mates. Mm-hmm. He was the rich boy. Everything he wanted, he had. Beside that, where the Constellation was, a sort of field. And eventually they put hoardings up all around it, big hoardings. That's where they put the front. And he had these buses, no wheels, just a chassis, just the bus. And of course, he allowed his son and all his friends, and he had our cabins and our dens and our...
We
did all that acting up on the shoot bank bucket.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful, and you must have been sort of like another world of your own.
Yeah, a bit envious, I suppose, in those days, because the boy, he was rich in our way, yet his father was a labour man, a convict. In fact, all his friends turned to the young convicts. My mother and father were as blue could be. That our house always used to be the committee room for the local election for Sir Isidore Salmon. Very conservative people. My mother maybe used to do a little bow and of course my friends were all communists. I couldn't bear to be a Tory. I would never be a Tory. I was never a communist,
And was politics important to you at that stage of your life? Then?
Not really. All I knew was that my people were conservative and all my friends, mothers and fathers, were Labour. I couldn't bear the snobbery of the Conservatives, that to the way it was done. I wasn't attracted. The other families were into politics, I suppose. Just another little thing. I always wanted to go into the Navy, but couldn't do. Mother trying to get me into a merchant marine as a boy. So at 16 I joined the RMBR, gave my name, my age, 18. Got me into trouble later years. So I joined the RMBR trading ship, part-time, like the Smuggler Territorials and the investment stuff. And these boys, 1935, 36, they were still in the Young Communists. And they said, how can you belong to a military? As far as I was concerned, it wasn't military. It was a good club. They got a bar on the road. I was 16, I wasn't allowed. There was beer, baked beans on toast. There was sailing. We used to go down to Bisley, which was the Rangers, weekends down there, also. So I'd come back on a Saturday evening, keep my girlfriend, go to the cinema, and for love. Yeah, they all wanted to know, why I wanted to belong to a military. I was very lucky because I saw all the big, part of all the big things that were going on. The coronation of 1937.
Yeah.
I was in that. George V's funeral, George V's jubilee. There are all sorts of things in the ceremonial stands, which cenotaph, Lord Mayor's show. We got to do all that. It was fantastic as a 17-year-old.
Oh yes, it must have been.
There's one missing, I can't. Another gangster type.
When I was thinking of when we were talking about gangsters was Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G., yeah. Yes. Tala. Yeah. And I think there was one called Ray. Nothing with him, yeah.
The priest, wasn't he, Patty Bryan's gangster sidekick?
Yes, right. Yeah. Then he pumped. Bits. And there was the other one with the big mouth. Lord Rains. Yeah. That's one.
Ah.
Martha Ray.
Ah.
She opened up. I don't know. Well, I envy you that book.
Yeah.
I envy you that book.
I was really pleased to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it have any... Oh, nobody had written in it.
No.
A lot of these were written.
Yeah.
Did you, where you just came across it, did you? In
a yes, book? More or less, yes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I envy your Sonny's collection of picture goers because I've seen one or two, but not.
Yeah,
not
well,
a lot.
You know where I live. If you want to get in touch, you know, it's not liable that they're going to be available to see at the moment.
Yeah.
No. But I will natter to him about it, and I will very likely, if I get the chance, borrow a few. Anyway, that's very comprehensive, I will say.
Yes,
very
yes.
Comprehensive. Lovely.
Yeah. It's good having the bit at the back as well. It tells you a bit about films people made. And
yes. The later one than that, when my father-in-law was... he was in the printing trade. And he used to get some... We used to have books. When we were about 17 or 18, 18, 19. Oh, the big pictures, rather similar to those you've got today, but not as comprehensive as those in any manner, Jerry Paul. You'd get about 20 or 30 of the big name with the full picture. But they were very welcome additions to art entertainment in those days. Of course, the girls used to buy film girl. That's right, film girl and picture girl. The girls used to buy them, much as I suppose they would do. I suppose the pop magazines today. I suppose. Well, thank you for allowing me to talk to you about it.
Thank you for talking to me.
It's
been
great. You know, it's special. Draws you out memories. You know, I thought before I came, like yesterday and this morning and the day before, I thought, well, don't know how much more I've got to sort of remember, but that's done it, you see. Because now your memory is beginning to play you tricks, so it's pretty awful, because you start a conversation, a friend and I actually said, oh no, don't do it again. About three times during the evening, don't do it again. I say, that bloke, you know, he's dark-haired, and he was in that film. I can't remember anymore, you can't, she said. And it's awful, these names have gone.
It's not, I mean, it's not surprising, really. I mean, it's 60 years ago, and it's...
Yeah, 60 years ago I was 18. Mm. So you're talking about 70 years ago, when you were very young.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my eyes go back of my head now when I think of those days. But I still see that, as far as I am concerned, the first film. Was it with Notre Dame? Something of Notre Dame. With Lon Chaney.
Mm.
Chaney, whatever how you pronounce it. These big humpback skulking around Paris.
Mm.
Another thing, one of the things I can remember as a silent film was a crime film that was sold by television. You know that? Somebody did murders or something, and unbeknownst to the murderer, there was something taking pictures. Never sort of mentioned there was a camera taking pictures. I suppose it was there, but we didn't. All we knew was that the police and the detectives would see him doing the murder sort of thing. The cameras, and they had it brought up onto the big screen, you know. Strange. Yeah. There you go. It's been lovely sort of recalling the memories. Now that the wife's gone, I haven't got her. Nobody wants to hear it. I'm friends with this lady now, so I can't recall too many memories of previous girlfriends.
Of course.
But, I mean, the one of sitting in the cinema and getting wet, coming through the ceiling, you can see through the tin roof and stuff. Yeah. I've been back up on the hill now, and I can't remember. I think the Harris School, who owned it, they controlled this area. There's no pawn shops in Harrow.
Really?
They had the licenses, they kept the licenses.
Yeah.
Nearly everything went on in Harrow. It was governed by the Harrow School. It provided a lot of the work.
I'm sure.
Kitchens, the big houses. How they ever let it out to a cinema, I don't know, but I understood in later years that they took it over. But, yeah. Well, I suppose, oh yes.
Yes,
I've been with you an hour and three quarters.
Yeah. It's passed very quickly, it's been really interesting.
Well, as long as I haven't, so now. Good.
No, and thanks very much for talking to me, guys. It's been
a pleasure.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it, so it's...
You know, if there's anything develops, I'd be